You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive, TSN 1050, now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Two insiders in studio in about 25 minutes. McKenzie and Dreger will be in here. No updates on Mitch Marner. Leafs with a complete day off, and nothing leaks out of the Maple Leafs camp. You can get leaks out of the White House.
Yes.
CIA, FBI, all that kind of stuff.
They're all under investigation.
Everyone's being investigated, but nothing's coming out of Maple Leaf Central.
Not a chance.
Do you believe that? That the Air Canada Center is more difficult to infiltrate for information than the White House?
We'll have to ask the insiders.
I think McKenzie's got a better chance at finding out when the war is going to break out than what's going on with Mitch Marner. Because they just don't say anything.
The cone
right
of
now.
Silence.
The I mean, I got to be honest. Silence. I'm surprised that it's gotten to this extent where they've actually been able to pull this off for the past year and a half.
And all the nonsense. Once in a while, you get a message from somebody on Twitter saying, like, "Hey, I know what's going on. Hit me back, and I'll let you know." Like, that's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only thing. I can't imagine if I get sent messages like that. I can't imagine what Bob and Dregs and Pierre.
Oh, I'm sure they get a ton of those. But, like, the players have to follow through on this, too. Marner clearly is under marching orders. Don't say anything to anybody. Like, he's at home, right? He's walking around. Maybe he went to his parents.
Right, and his best friends are probably saying, "How you doing?" And he's like, "I can't tell you." Like,
probably doesn't even write them back. Flushing texts and emails
from his best buddies until he can sort it out.
Right? And that's the big news in Toronto. You lose a game, it happens. Columbus was due for a big night. McElhinney didn't play great. I thought the Leafs actually played fine collectively over the course of the game. They weren't great, but it wasn't like an awful effort. But the news that really sticks and the news that matters is all about Mitch Marner and if he's going to be available to play this weekend. And we've got a poll question up on Twitter at Overdrive 1050 asking listeners which veteran player has to step up if Marner is actually going to miss some time. 71% voting JVR.
Are you ever going to change your avatar on Twitter?
I like his avatar.
I got a great avatar. What's wrong with it?
It's Dougie and Eddie in his leather jacket at the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Go back to Wade Boggs.
Maybe that'll be our poll question for tomorrow.
What?
Would you rather Wade Boggs hung over the dugout... Like, extremely hungover. Like, paramedics are on hold. He's so hungover. Or Eddie Belfour in bar gear during his Hall of Fame induction night at the ACC. Because what's wrong with that? Dougie looks great. He's got his suit on, the purple tie, and Eddie looks like
avatar.
He was at the Underground.
I don't even know how to work all that nonsense.
That's the thing. I don't have a background. I've got nothing done up. Yours, you've got, like, everything kind of put together.
You change things around, though, sometimes. At least you know how to do it. I'm going to have to change my headshot. That's from a while back.
You look like you're 18.
I know. I've weathered over the last couple of years.
You think so?
Well,
I don't see that in you.
Marriage and a kid will do that to you.
I don't see that in you, Noodles.
Weathered.
I don't know, man. Not like Bartolo Colon, like we said earlier. Bartolo, 21 years in Major League Baseball, put on 100 pounds plus. Very different looking guy today.
That's true.
Than when he showed up at camp in Cleveland back in 96. Dirk Ayers will join us here in a moment. Jose Bautista, he's in camp. Hasn't said anything yet, though. No mics for Jose.
So the Jerry's percentage, was it future headlines or Jerry's percentage we had? Because I was sure
it was
this
Jerry's.
Guy.
Jerry's. Jose Bautista holds court his first day at spring training.
And I said no because he didn't show up with pitchers and catchers. Mm-hmm. If this guy had something to say, he would have been there yesterday popping off.
Well, he did show up today, which was a day early, right?
He just probably happened to be in
2 days early.
Yeah, I think it's Saturday when they're officially supposed to be in. But Bautista, he's humbled, man. He has to be humbled. He has to be.
Yes.
Like, and that's not to, that doesn't mean he won't be motivated. I hope he has a great year for the Blue Jays' sake, for his own sake.
Right.
He's a Blue Jay legend. You can say whatever you want about his personality, how he interacts with people, all that kind of stuff. It's secondary to how you actually perform. He didn't have a good year last year. Hopefully he bounces back this year. But when you drop the mic the way he did this time last year, first day of spring training, he made it all about himself, all about how much he was going to get paid, how he's not taking a hometown discount. He's got the stock prices in his back pocket.
He knows his worth to the team, the organization, the city, everything.
And then you essentially come back on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Where kind of pity money was sent your way because the Blue Jays knew they had to pay him more than the original offer.
With original talk of he might be sitting around through the summer.
Until after the draft so that the compensatory pick is off the table.
That's nuts.
That's that has to be a humbled individual.
It is.
It has to be a humbled guy.
A little bit tail between your legs, for sure. But the guy is signed. There's some incentives there to add years onto the contract. He's going to get paid. Go out and have a great season. And there's an option out, right? Like he could, at the end of this year, he could be unrestricted if he wants financially.
Yeah, I think they can both walk away. And if he has a great year, he'll opt out because he'll want to get paid more. And if he has a horrible year, the Jays will say, there's the door. Thanks for coming out.
Right. So
it's effectively a one-year deal.
Good for him.
Some people suggesting I change my profile pic to Homer Simpson laying on the couch.
Until maybe you get going on this Tough Mudder situation here, or couch
to 10K. Couch to 10K.
Maybe you should. Hey, I like the Wade Boggs. That one was my favorite.
You're a
but
fan
he said
of Wade.
The wife didn't like it. Why?
I don't know why she took issue with that. There's no way she likes Eddie Belfour in a leather jacket. Like,
and
you can't like leather jacket over hungover. Right? Boggs. Like, they're both not necessarily profile pics that accentuate my own features or what
What's
I'm
the one your
about.
Wife hates? She hates hungover one.
She hated Wade Boggs.
I think you go back to it. I mean,
okay,
she'll circle back with it.
Let's bring in Dirk. I want to talk to the man.
All right. Here's our Jays analyst. We haven't spoken with him for quite some time. Here's Dirk Hayhurst. What's happening, Dirk?
Not much, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, we were just talking about how hungover Wade Boggs used to play, I guess, quite often. I mean, the stories of Boggs just getting after it. And
he drank 100 beers from Boston to L.A.
Allegedly, in one day, over 100 beers. And I used to have an avatar pickup of him in the dugout, and he just looks extremely hungover. Yet he probably went like 4 for 5, 2 doubles, a couple steals. I mean, he was a legend, right?
Yeah, well, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, when you're that good, you're forced to make challenges for yourself. Like, can I produce at the same level when I can't remember where I'm at in time and space? And he could. That's,
right.
I mean, that's remarkable. That's not surprising, though. And the former athletes here can probably attest to the fact that some boys get a little prideful about their ability level. You know, the alcohol is easily accessible at the highest levels of any sport. And you might have a few too many brews between games. You might have a few too many brews during games. I've seen this happen. There is a reason why rookies on baseball teams carry around garbage bags full of ice and beer onto team planes already furnished with their own supply of alcohol, because sometimes guys get competitive on how much they can drink on that cross-country flight. It happens.
Have you ever had, like, your David Wells moment where he was so hungover on the mound and pitched a perfect game? Did you ever just have a night that was unexpected and go out there and tear it up?
Well, you have to understand, I didn't start drinking until I was 27 because my brother was an alcoholic. So I made a pact that I would never drink while he was still drinking. But when he got sober, it only took me, like, one or two beers to be, quote, torn up. So, like, I was such a lightweight that I never got the chance to have my David Wells moment, nor did I have the talent. So, really, everything was working against me.
Dirk, we were talking earlier about this Sanchez-Stroman situation, and I had a theory or an idea about it, and this is not TMZ, we're talking about sports, but they're just not as close. Something had to happen between these two guys. And my theory is that it's either a woman or there's jealousy involved. I mean, I don't know what else there could be between two guys that are teammates.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that one out myself. Like, you know, was somebody getting tired of the other guys, like, you know, height doesn't measure heart stick or something like that? You know, at some point, guys become their own little mini franchises.
Yeah.
And they start talking about themselves like their properties, and egos start to bump into each other. And, you know, you start pushing one guy to try and go the direction that got him there. And he doesn't want to go that direction anymore. He starts to push back. You try to be grounded, step in and say, bro, you shouldn't go that way. You shouldn't date that girl. You shouldn't drink that much on a cross-country flight, whatever it is. You know, guys will invent something that they feel like, dude, it was cool when we were coming up together and we were leaning on each other, but now we're there, and I kind of want to go my own way now, so I don't need you to play big brother. And when you drop that on a big ego, like normal folk ego, it's kind of, okay, all right, I hear you. I can work with that. I respect you. But when you get a little bit bigger ego, it's a lot more volatile, the explosion. So, you know, if it's a lady, that would just be, I mean, that would be awesome. Talk about the radio hits we could do if it was like a love triangle. I mean, I would pay people to go find out who that girl was so we could talk about it. But most likely, I think it's just the fragility of ego under the microscope. And you have that when you're at this level. And these are still kids we're talking about, for goodness sakes. I mean, this is the only workplace experience that they have. And so they're bound to ruffle each other's feathers every once in a while. But they're young, and I think they're going to work through it. And I really don't think it'll affect the clubhouse.
Well, and that was my point earlier, that because they're so young, you know, at some point, if it ever got out of hand, Grilly, Estrada, Happ, Martin, Tulowitzki, someone would step up and say,
cut the crap.
Yeah. Like, don't, nonsense. Who are you two? Sanchez, you were on an innings limit a year ago. Stroman, you had a bit of a down year last year. I mean, relax. So I don't think they would have enough clout to allow it to become a clubhouse issue. And based on the sport that they play and the position they play, they are literally never on the field at the same time.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like a center and a quarterback having issues or defensive pairing in the NHL or something like that. They're literally never going to come into contact with each other when they're on the field. So I don't expect it to be an issue. I don't think it should.
Right, and I don't think it will either, which leads me back to my hypothetical hypothesis, which was, you know, these were two dudes that were probably really close and they were trying to figure out who they were and breaking into the game, right? Breaking into, like, that next level. Like, I was the guy who was a journeyman. I showed up in bullpens occasionally, usually when the team sucked. These guys are front and center franchise heads, and they probably have really distinct ideas about what they're going to do next. And it used to be, like, uncontested that they would be boys about it. And now maybe there's some difference of opinion, and that's going to get blown out of proportion. And they need to know that. They need to know that there's going to be some fake news in the echo chamber. And they need to just tune that out and focus on business as usual before their axe gets tired and one of these older guys that you just mentioned ends up stuffing one or both of them in a locker.
With Dirk Ahurst, our Jays analyst, pitchers and catchers have reported. Some of the players are already pouring in. Interesting news today. Matt Latos walked through the door. They're going to give him a shot. They're going to stretch him out. Sounds like they're going to stretch out Biagini as well. Yet it's appeared to be a foregone conclusion that the five-man rotation is set. So, you know, what do you make of them bringing in Latos and the idea of them even stretching out a guy like Biagini?
I really wouldn't be surprised, gentlemen, if you see Latos get released before spring training is out. That would probably be the best for the Blue Jays. And I say that not from – that makes no sense for me to say that, because clearly they need depth. They need starting depth and they need relief depth in AAA and in their bullpen. But I think there should be a red flag here. And we were talking about team chemistry earlier. I'm just going to bring it up here briefly with Latos saying that, well, this guy, this will be his eighth team in 8 years in the major leagues. And at one point in time, this guy was a front end of the, you know, of all of baseball arm. I mean, he was an emergent arm, one of the best pitchers in the National League. And then it's just been a stark fall from grace. But it hasn't come without flashes of brilliance here and there. You know, I mean, starting out for the White Sox last year, he had a really good start to the season, and then he imploded and he was gone. And then with the Nationals, he's been with Miami, he's been with both LA teams. I think when you look at that, you say to yourself, like, this guy had a lot of talent, like a tremendous level of talent, that if he struggles, you at least send him to AAA in your own organization. But you've seen teams pull the cord on this guy fast and eject him from organizations. Which leads me to think that the fastball isn't there. Okay, so what? He's still got experience. But there's something else there that's just not making it possible for him to turn the corner. And I think that's a personality thing. I've never heard his name come up in the you know, this guy could be a leader. You know, he's going to teach youngsters how to get the game right. I have heard his name come up several times, though, in clubhouse drama. So that concerns me. I like the upside here, but I just don't think you're going to get it.
Well, it's been an interesting offseason. So throwing Latos into the mix, I guess, spices it up that much more. Yeah, we were talking about Bautista just prior to having you on and how this time last year, I mean, he just set spring training on fire league-wide. I mean, the whole league was talking about Bautista and his 18-minute press conference and talking about what he's worth and hometown discounts and stock prices. And he showed up today and pretty quietly, and you have to believe he's been humbled. Yet, even though he's been here for 8 or 9 years, it feels as if that signing, and it's not an addition, but the idea of him coming back and what he's going to bring is what I'm anticipating more than even the new players. You know, like maybe it's because they signed Morales so quickly. Steve Pierce is a utility guy. J.P. Howell, I'm not even sure what he's going to bring. I mean, for me, Bautista and his production is really what I'm focused on as opposed to any of the new players, which is rare because generally coming off an offseason, there's going to be something that leads to your focus just based on it being something new and fresh. What's your take on that and how amped up you are to see these new additions?
Right. So this is a case of, is this going to be like Joey Growltista or Joey Pautista? He's back. He's hit balls over the fence because he want that money he didn't get. You know, he's trying to break that contract and get got by somebody. Is it going to be that song and dance? Because that's different. The one thing, though, that I think you can really enjoy, maybe that's a generous term, but with Jose Bautista is the fact that, you know, there are people on other teams that dislike him. There may even be some people that find him a bit cold and uber professional in his own locker room, but he is a professional and he does know that he has to produce in order to get paid. And that's why this is humbling for him, because he didn't produce and he didn't go in the offseason with the strong position that he thought he was going to go into. I like a guy that's overconfident when the people who are getting punished is the other team. You know, if he wants to be everyone else in the league's enemy and still produce and still be a pro to the guys in the locker room with him, that's fine. You have my blessing to do that. I think we're all on board for that if he gets the job done. But let's say that, you know, the Pierces and the Moraleses come into this organization and they're all trying to make themselves emergent players. And I think there's going to be a lot of fun with those names because they're not on anybody's radar. They really are not. I mean, these have been kind of like utility signs, and we are still used to consuming a steady diet of huge names with huge dollars, a jersey that I can immediately buy. You know, no one's going out and buying the Morales jersey or the Pierce jersey yet. They don't know what role those guys are going to play yet. They haven't really seen what they're capable of. But I think more knowledgeable fans around the game should be excited about the fact that there's more speed, there's more depth, there's more versatility in this lineup. It's gotten a little bit younger. These are things that are going to pay dividends throughout the regular season, whether Joey Bautista shows up as Growl or Pow. So I am excited about that because it makes sense to me from a functional standpoint. Well, it may not make sense to a lot of fans from a, I want to buy that jersey so bad standpoint.
Good stuff, buddy. We'll be doing it a lot more down the road. Thank you for this.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
This is Dirk Hayhurst, our Jays analyst, and we apologize if the vacuum.
There was somebody vacuum.
That was so loud.
Outside the door. They may as well just come in here and vacuum.
It was as if they were on the mic, like with a dustbuster, while I'm asking Dirk a question. So loud.
Did it rattle you? You fought through it.
It rattled me a little bit because I honestly thought they were coming in the studio.
I thought a machine was.
You got to turn your mic on, dude. Yeah.
I thought there was a machine just about to come through the doors, and I'm like, what's going on?
Well, I would have jumped up.
Are we
and
being
shut
attacked?
There is a machine. Two machines.
Yes.
Dreger and McKenzie.
Yes.
Wow.
Joining us in studio.
That's a two-pronged attack.
This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on TSN 2. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Three stars brought to you by Babsox. Leafs off until Saturday night. They got another back-to-back this weekend. Ottawa in town on Saturday. Then they're at Carolina on Sunday. The trade deadline right around the corner as well. And we got two hockey insiders in here. And the hockey insiders brought to you by Finance It.
Darren's trying to fix his Instagram account.
Noodles is helping him.
I'm trying to figure out how it works is what I'm trying to do.
Losers.
You're on the case, Noodles?
I don't agree. I'm not really privy to Instagram that much, like the settings of it.
Come on. There's lots of Noodles Instagram pics, pics. There's lots of
pics. Yeah, but it's private because I don't need people.
Are you on Instagram, Bob? I think I follow
Bob
McKenzie.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I haven't posted much there.
I follow your son. He's got some good posts on there. He does
both
well.
Of them do. Well respected.
Well respected. They do well. Couple of hearts popping up on those pics. Well.
I don't heart anything, but
anyway,
they're legit gentlemen. I love them both.
We had Duthie in here, so you got some competition with the podcast.
Yeah,
now.
You know what? I'm going to address that tomorrow on the Bobcast. But it's a competitive world out there. Greg's is going to start one to critique the podcast.
Nah, I hear Duthie's getting six figures for that.
Is that right?
I was just going to say, why do you do it? Do you get money? I'll try one if there's money. why the hell else would you do it?
Just for the good of TSN.
No
that's
way.
I do things
no
for.
Way.
You just berated Duthie about two hours ago. Did you hear?
I heard. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, but how would you set one up? You need someone to help you.
I have my reasons for doing it.
See, yeah, he gives back. I think money is one of them.
He gives back to the community.
No way. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't. He doesn't like people that much. Everybody thinks, it's Bob McKenzie. He doesn't like people that much.
And we just love people.
I can confirm that.
I love people. I just don't love them all.
Yeah.
Most of them.
The Bobcast, so you're doing it again tomorrow then?
On tomorrow, yep.
All right. Start a beef
working
with
on
Duthie.
It today.
That'd be great.
The Duthie, though, he's got production value. He's got music. He's got guests. He's all over the place with this thing, trying to make me look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Dogcast is coming out on Sunday night. Watch out.
The Dogcast.
Looking forward to it. We're at that time of the year where people are tracking where scouts are, where managers are. I mean, do you guys follow that to the same extent that Twitter does? Everyone's freaking out because people are watching Colorado Buffalo tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, you go to a Toronto game, you go to a Buffalo game, it's in the Southern Ontario, Western New York. I mean, pro scouts, hockey people, management people, they're going to go to all these games. So it can be misleading if you try to go seating chart. Listen, you can't ignore it either.
If you're scouting the Colorado Avalanche, what are you looking for? You know, do you need to see Jerome Iginla in his 1,525th game? You know what Matt Duchene is. You have a pretty good feel on Landeskog. Maybe you're looking at Gregorenko, who might be in play, or does Weirkosh have anything left that might be able to help you defensively, things like that. But for the most part, I pay closer attention, Frank, to what's going on in the American League, or where teams are even from a junior perspective, because more often than not, when you're talking about these trades at the deadline, you're talking about top prospects and you're talking about draft picks,
right,
given the salary cap world.
Well, Colorado, I mean, people are focused on them for obvious reasons.
They're
tire fire of a team, but it seems like these bigger deals, the Duchene type deals, those have just become draft deals.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel that way? You don't see a lot of those deals.
Well, let's be honest. Let's ask the big question. How many years away are we from just gassing Trade Center because there's no good trades to be made?
Well,
all we do is talk about how many trades are we going to be talking about that are, how many times me and Ray say bit pieces?
Well, what are the big players right now that you're fairly confident are getting moved?
Hansel.
Hansel.
Yeah.
You think Shattenkirk will?
I do.
See, Shattenkirk's interesting.
Who else is on that Quizmaster's trade baseboard anyway?
Yeah, there's a couple other bit pieces.
But Hansel and Hansel's getting traded. Shattenkirk's getting traded, I think.
Yeah.
So Shattenkirk's interesting because
they're a good team again.
But there's also, it's come out, or I don't know if it's been credible sources, that he's not adverse to going to Canada.
Oh, really?
I don't know. He'll play in Canada. He's playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Like, you're talking signing long term.
Well, yeah, but being traded here and signing an extension.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
So here or Edmonton or whoever, but I don't know what the teams are. But if I'm a Toronto Maple Leafs fan and I have an opportunity to, if Shattenkirk was in play, I'm watching. I'm tuning in to Trade Center to hear what we have to say.
Do you think the Leafs, though, are really going to make that trade?
No.
I just don't see it.
I'm not convinced.
I'm not convinced he's the type of defenseman they want. A very good defenseman, real good on the power play, good offensively. I think and Dreg's got all sorts of.
Yeah, I got some heat.
Got all sorts of blowback when he mentioned that some teams don't view Shattenkirk as at 5-on-5, stress, at 5-on-5 as a real force in your top four. That the offensive dimension that he's got, which is real good on the power play and real good, period, makes him a top four defenseman on balance. But that his five-on-five play, in strict five-on-five terms, he's not a top four guy. And I think when the Leafs go out and get somebody, that's probably one of the criteria they're looking at.
Well, so where's the blowback? I can understand that. Petrangelo,
no,
Parayko.
The blowback because comes from those who represent Shattenkirk. Because in fairness, you look at the open market, he's a pending unrestricted free agent. Who's going to be better? You know, he's going to command 6.5 to 7 per year.
Sure.
And the blowback comes back from people who simply look at the numbers, and rightfully so. He's a good offensive defenseman. He puts up numbers. So when you balance out his power play ability, his offensive ability, and the rest of it, whatever weaknesses you think he's got defensively, and you balance it all out, you can easily make the case that he's a top four defenseman in the National Hockey League. But all Dregs was pointing out, and what I would say, and what I would think some people with the Leafs might think, would be when it's a five-on-five game, he may not be the guy you want out there in your top four.
To defend.
Right.
That's all I've heard. That guy $7 million if he's not strong enough.
And you can't trust him. That's the one thing.
Right. And the Leafs, in my mind, are not going to allocate $6+ million or $7 million on a 6 or 7 year deal to a defenseman like that. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's not, as I said, he's going to be a highly sought after guy. And I think. And I suppose maybe this hot streak that St. Louis is on, maybe it changes their mind, but I don't think so. I think he's going to get traded.
How does Doug Armstrong win in this? How does he win? You know, if he doesn't trade him and they lose out in the first round, he's going to take a ton of heat from the market because he allowed Backes and Brouwer to walk into free agency, got nothing in return, and he does it with another significant piece. When he trades Shattenkirk and gets a draft pick and a prospect back, you know, he's going to get heat because they didn't get anything that could help the St. Louis Blues, you know, solidify a playoff spot and, you know, maybe win a round or two.
Right. It's like Stamkos and Yzerman, right? Like a similar situation. Stamkos, a better player, more impactful, had the C on his jersey, but they were risking the idea of him walking. You know,
we had a Jerry's percentage yesterday on another coach being fired.
Uh-oh.
This year. What would your Jerry's percentage be on that?
Pretty low.
Yeah, really low.
It's almost the storm
really
is
low.
Over.
I wondered for a while about Lindy Ruff in Dallas.
I was just going to say Dallas.
When Julian was still hanging out there, I wondered, you know, hey, if the Dallas might say, well, you know what, Lindy's contract's up at the end of the year. We might not be bringing him back, especially if we miss the playoffs. Why not jump in on Julian now? But Julian's gone, and I never necessarily got the strong sense. I don't know if you'd agree or disagree, Dregs. That Dallas was ready to do that, but I just wondered simply because Lindy's contract's up at the end of the year. But I'm hard pressed to come up with somebody else.
But Florida, I mean, Florida's not. They're going to ride
think
it
they're,
out.
They're going to ride
stand
it.
Pat. Yeah, they'll stand pat. Dallas is interesting though because, as Bob mentions, Lindy's deal is up at the end of the year.
Lindy
probably
back.
Well, look, what they need is an audit of the organization. How do you go from 109 points to struggling to even win a game now? It's not all on coaching. So Jim Nill has got a plate full trying to figure out the organization. And Lindy Ruff will be a part of that. But I believe that Lindy looks at himself as, at worst, a middle-of-the-pack coach. Probably looks at himself higher than that, maybe in that upper echelon.
Some of the company he's been in and some of the things
so
he's been involved in.
What's he going to want? You know, he's going to want $4 million, isn't he? Times 4 or 5 years. I mean,
guess it depends what market. Depends what market you end up in. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. You might want from Dallas, which is why Dallas might want to go. Yeah. We're not ready to invest in that yet, based on the year we're coming off, and who knows what pops loose is on the open market.
Is Hitch 100% done coaching?
No, I wouldn't say that.
For some reason, I don't know why, I don't have any insight on it other than the fact that I could see Hitch back in Dallas. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because of the success. That team needs defensive structure. They can score, but they can't defend. And, yeah, their goaltenders have been brutal. There's no arguing that. But if you bring in somebody that can put some semblance of structure in that group and show Tyler Seguin that, hey, you know what, if you can defend a little bit away from the puck and Jamie Benn and Spezza and some of these guys who just circle away and Klingberg.
Well, it's an interesting concept because I think there's two things to consider. One, on both sides of that equation. Okay, what does Hitchcock want to do? Well, he, even at the beginning of this season, started to raise his own doubts a little bit about whether he was done. He knew it was his last year with St. Louis.
Right.
I'm sure that he doesn't want to go out the way that he went out. He's only one win away from Al Arbor for a third on the all-time winningest coach list. So he's, I think he wants to make sure if he shows up somewhere that he's going to get, have a relationship with the general manager and the organization that he's real comfortable with. That's important to him because of the way he coaches.
Right.
And you're not warm and fuzzy with the players. If you don't have the backing of everybody, it becomes a decision. Interesting part on Dallas. If they decide, and this is all hypotheticals, if they decide that they don't want Lindy back, if I was Dallas, I might go to Hitch and say, we'll give you a one-year deal. We only had one-year deals at the end in St. Louis anyways.
Yeah.
And because they're a more mature team, they're not like a team in their former year. They got Ben, they've got Sagan, they had 109 points, they've taken a step back. What have you got to lose if you're Dallas?
What the hell else would you give a 65-year-old man a longer deal than that anyway?
And that,
how
old's Trump? He got four or 5 years.
4 years.
No guarantees there.
And it's thinning out by the day.
Talk to Vegas about that.
But anyway, what have you got? You know, in my mind, what have you got to lose? Because to your point, they're a pretty good offensive team.
Yeah.
But maybe instead of worrying about the coach, maybe they need to worry about the goaltending.
Right.
Which would be the same situation he found himself in St. Louis. Yeah. With the insiders, Darren Dreger, Bob McKenzie, Mitch Marner, full off day today, so nothing coming out of the Leafs. But you know, we've talked about this. All of us have talked about this. When Shanahan came in, when Lou came in, you know, how are they going to clamp down on the information? I'm surprised it's gotten to this point. Like, obviously, the players are buying into it too, right? Because Marner knows what's up, and he's not saying anything to anybody.
Well, I mean, what do you need to know? We know that he
did pop his shoulder out. Is he going to play this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, no, well, they don't know that yet. I mean, he had the MRI.
If it had not been an off day, we would have a much better handle. But Kona silence is down on an off day when it's harder to get people and not as many people around the rink.
No, I mean, the sense was that it isn't that serious, and they kept him out for precautionary reasons, but he went to the doctor today. He had the MRI, and they're probably, what time is it, 6:40, you know, I think he just had the MRI.
Really? So, okay.
You know, they'll look at the imaging, and if there's nothing there to prevent him from playing, I mean, he's a tough little guy, you know.
Well, that's true.
If he
right?
can play, he'll play. And if he can't, then there's something to the injury.
I have no idea how severe or not severe it is. But as I watched it, and you played the game, Noodles, you played the game. Dregs and I didn't. Hayes as well. Hmm. But in any case, when he went into the boards like that, and then I saw him, and he tried to play a few shifts afterwards. Then I saw him on the bench, and he's swinging the arm around, giving it the windmill, trying to feel. It looked to me like the classic AC joint. I'm not saying it's separated, but it's I wouldn't even say dislocation or anything. It just looked to me like one of those ones where it's like, okay, it's not terrible, but, you know, it's a...
You're radioing yourself right now.
I know
now.
I am. I
radioed myself earlier.
I already did earlier and said completely hypothetical. Dr. Bob watching the game saying this is what I think. And hey, listen, tomorrow they could say, you know what, he's fine. He's playing Saturday night against Ottawa. Or they could say, you know what, he's out 2-4 or 4-6. Who knows? I have no idea right now. But I'm just telling Dr. Bob was watching the game. Yes. And Dr. Bob says that looked to me like he banged up the AC joint a little bit.
Well, and if he did and he's out, I mean, that's a big hit, right? I mean, this kid has been spectacular
star
for
in the league
all year.
Already.
He really has been. And I don't
think... He's been elusive, too, through much of this year. He hasn't been tagged a lot.
Right.
You know, teams are catching up second half.
And the funny thing is it wasn't even like he got caught. He was trying to hit a guy, you know, and
it's
which might...
Jenner, right?
Yeah, which might speak to the, you know, maybe... that you know, that's... I realize he wants to play a hard game. Maybe there's some frustration in his game. You know, the team's not doing as well of late, even though they were coming off a win the night before. So I don't know.
Well, he's so skilled. He's so young. He's been so effective. Matthews, the same thing. Nylander, the same thing. As we get closer to the deadline and even into the summer, we were having the conversation earlier, just from a hypothetical standpoint, the idea of, you know, young, talented forwards being available. Colorado, we know Duchesne. We know Landeskog. Maybe more would be available there. Like, could you make sense of the Leafs trying to add to the talent up front and using collateral to make that deal as opposed to focusing on defense, which is what everyone thinks they should and will end up focusing on.
I think it just entirely depends on the player you're talking about and what the ask is going to be. You know, when you get into the summer, there's more flexibility, but there's more flexibility for all teams, right? And, you know, teams pay close attention to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They know their roster, and maybe it doesn't have to be a top six guy that is going to augment what they already have. You know, maybe they bring in, they sign a college kid, you know, somebody somewhat under the radar fits in with the Marlies for a year, and away they go. They continue to build that way.
I could see the Leafs trying to upgrade that fourth line center spot.
Ryan Boyle?
Yeah, but they won't pay it. Like, if the price is a first round pick, then Toronto's not doing it.
Right.
But I could see them wanting to upgrade that. The notion that they would upgrade their top six or their top nine with a prominent offensive player, I guess it's tough. Possible, but yeah. I'd be really surprised. I would, you could make an argument. Oh, well, what if you got a high profile top six guy for two or three younger guys that somebody's looking for depth? But I still don't think it adds up.
Well, here's a question regarding the whole trade deadline situation. I think there could be a lot of movement because of expansion. Would there be a lot of, like...
Might be the other way around, too.
You don't think so?
There's teams here. I've talked to teams, and they're like, well, you know what? If we trade for Matt Duchene, then...
It messes with who you got to protect.
Then we've got to protect them, and we're going to lose this player. So whatever I give up for Matt Duchene, and they're asking the sun, the moon, and the stars for...
It's actually plus, because they're...
Plus with the guy I'm losing in the expansion draft. And same thing. So people are talking about the Vancouver Canucks. In Vancouver, they're saying... We need to trade Yannick Hansen. I'm not saying the Canucks, the fans, the media. Fans are saying, we need to trade Yannick Hansen. He's a good player. He's got a year left on his contract, and we'll get something good for him, and they would. But the reason we need to trade him is because if we don't trade him, we're going to lose either Sven Barchi or Marcus Granlund in the expansion draft, and they are. So that's great. But what the other side of the equation that people in Vancouver don't automatically assume is the team that acquires Yannick Hansen, if they're going to give a really good price to Vancouver for Yannick Hansen, then they've got to add in, well, we've got to protect Yannick Hansen, and that means we're exposing one of our guys, so the price just went up one more step. So I think there's a lot of teams that are saying this expansion draft is actually killing us, and that's why the rentals will be all the guys, the rage. It's going to be all rentals between now and the deadline. And also, because it's a flat cap, the rentals won't impact next year's salary cap. So some GMs have suggested to me the only thing we're going to see move between now and the deadline are rentals.
Interesting.
Well, and the Leafs are in a kind of a different spot because they don't have anyone that screams protection, and they've got a lot of cap space because of these players that they can put on long-term IR, right? So, I mean, they'll be an interesting team to watch just to see if they get a little bit creative between now and March 1st and certainly going into the summer. All right, boys, thanks for popping in.
Thanks,
guys.
We appreciate it. There they are, Darren Dreger, Bob McKenzie, the Hockey Insiders. This Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance and Monthly Payment Plans for Big Dreams and Everyday Budgets. Get to our best bets and three stars. Recap a busy afternoon next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Under the number, Sens Devils tonight, simply because Ray's calling the game. 1-0 barn burner.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Over the number, Colorado Buffalo tonight, and St. Louis continues to roll against Vancouver. Throw down 20 and you can score $90. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. Proline, get way into the game. Get to the three stars here in a moment. I guess my wife got off early, went and picked up the baby. I just got the text saying she can't wait for me to get home.
Oh, yeah?
So I came back. I'm like, is it because you want me to come help, or is it because you want to, you know, hang out? And like,
Right.
Who can't wait for you to get home?
Aaron.
So not your kid does.
Well, she doesn't really speak or anything anyway. She doesn't know who I am.
So what is it?
I think it's probably to help out.
Like, can't wait for you to get home to
bath help time,
out.
Bath time, yeah. Bed time, but either way.
Either way.
I'll
or
be
you're in
home.
Trouble.
You, could be.
I can't wait.
Can't wait to
you
see
up.
You. Because what did now I'm like, okay, what did I do?
Yeah,
what did I
forget? Exactly.
What did I say I was going to do and that I didn't end up
left
doing?
Left the garbage in the front hallway or something.
Right. which has happened before.
Wait till I get you home.
We're going to have a conversation, a man conversation.
Exactly.
Anyway, Raptors are on their all-star break. Big win for them last night, storming back down 17. And Serge Ibaka, at one point in the game, I'm like, they could probably use this guy.
Yeah, it would help.
Probably use him actually in the lineup.
I thought that was such a joke he didn't play.
He'll be fine.
And the All-Star break. They don't play. Like, that's like 10 days off.
Well, he's getting acclimated to Toronto. I told you.
That's serious, man. It's a two-hour flight.
Plus, you know he's got plans for the All-Star break.
Oh, yeah. He may not have even... Well, he did roll into Toronto, did he?
Yeah.
I think he had his physical.
He was in here for the physical for the presser. Now he's probably off to, like, Turks and Caicos or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. What can you
He'll do? Be good when it comes when they come back. That's all you want him down the stretch.
That's what you're hoping for.
Exactly.
Antoine Vermette, 10 games. That suspension got held up. That was a lock. They weren't going to reverse on that.
Yeah, he'll appeal it. It's saying internal emails are saying he's got 72 hours to appeal it.
What's the appeal, though? Yeah.
Well, Dennis Weidman got his.
I smacked a guy.
Dennis Weidman's eventually got his knocked down.
Right, but that felt almost like a makeup, because remember they didn't allow him. I don't know. There was something complicated
about
that.
There was something about him saying that he was concussed.
Well, that was another thing, that he got smoked and then
didn't know what he was doing.
I think he probably knew what he was doing, but Vermette definitely knew what he was doing. Like, there's no gray area here.
I think he's saying, I gave him a love tap. Like, I gave him, like, hey, what am I doing? Like, probably was saying, like, if he's looking and saying, if Nyquist gets 6, I get 10 for that nonsense.
What did your poll finish with the most bizarre thing we've seen in the last couple of weeks?
I think it was Oakley.
Yeah, Oakley ran away, 58%. Vermette, 32%. Today's poll question brought to you by Colt Hockey, our friends at Colt Hockey. If Marner misses games, which Leaf vet needs to step up the most? JVR, 70%.
Yeah, people are on the
JVR
train.
Is ready for the Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day, brought to you by Bab Sox.
Yes.
Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day.
Noodles, I'll hold it up for you, buddy.
Bob McKenzie, Darren Dreger, both came in bringing the heat. Mm-hmm. They shut you down early on about the financial talk of podcasts.
Well, I'll go second because I'm going to throw Duffy in there. He's got a new podcast out there.
Yes.
So check that out. Check out the Overdrive podcast as well up on iTunes.
Yes.
All right, anyone in the podcast world here? Mullen, hooking it up.
I'm going me as the first star. The dog cast is coming out.
Okay.
And the fact that my head feels like it's going to pop off my body and I still grinded it out in
here. There you go.
Mail it in Friday tomorrow, buddy.
Oh, well, it might be no showy Friday.
Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day is brought to you by Bab Sox. Add a little grit to your wardrobe with hockey's greatest game day ritual. Pull up your Bab Sox and support the team. Noodles and I are back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.